Warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The modus operandi of the beast, it basically describes his mode of operation. We have now come to the final section of the book of Revelation where the church had already been raptured. And now someone, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is worthy, the Lamb of God, who took the book from the hand of God himself, and he will now open the seal one by one to give us an understanding of what is contained in this book, held by the hand of God, which only the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, who suffered and died for us, was worthy to take and open. You know why he was worthy. We look at that last Lord's Day afternoon. Because of his finished work at Calvary's cross. These seven seals, they are basically a summary of the entire period of the Great Tribulation. The first four seals describe the beginning. Seal number six describes the end of the 7 years of Great Tribulation. And contained in seal number seven are the seven trumpet judgments. And contained in the seventh trumpet judgment number seven, would be the seven vows judgment. And the seven vow judgments basically is the fulfillment of the wrath of God upon this sin-filled world, where every drop of water, fresh and salt water, will be turned into blood. Every green blade of grass will be burnt. The world will be thoroughly and completely destroyed by God, including the stars in the heaven. The reason why I understand the seven seals as a summary is because of the content of these seals. The first four seals, when opened, describe four different horses. And because all of them are horses, you realize that it basically identifies one meaning. And that is the modus operandi of the beast. The beast will be given to us in greater detail in Revelation chapter 13. And then when you look at the trumpet number 5, or sorry, seal number 5 in verse 9, it describes believers. It describes the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then seal number 6, when you look at the content and detail, you realize that it describes the end, the second coming of Christ that will destroy the heavens and the earth. Verse 12 of Revelation 6 says, "And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, that is Christ, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as the fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of the mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and islands were moved out of their places." And all those who lived during this period will run and hide, because the return of the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To emphasize the correct interpretation of these six seals, turn with me to Matthew 24, verse 29, where you and I have a clear description by the Lord himself concerning the period just before he appears in the heavens, riding on a white horse in the clouds of glory. Matthew 24, verse 29 says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days," that's the Great Tribulation, which was the name given by Christ in verse 21. That's why the 7 years of Great Tribulation is not coined by church or man, it's by Jesus himself. And so he says, after the tribulation of those days, that means at the end of it, "shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken." You see the similarity that God gives us in seal number 6? "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Right, you see, kings of the earth and the great men, they will run and hide. The rich, the poor, everybody will run and hide because they know Jesus will come and judge and condemn them. So that's how we understand the six seals. The seventh seal contained in it will be the seven trumpet judgments. Contained in trumpet judgment number seven will be the seven vow judgments. So what we see in the sixth seal, the seven seals, would be a summary overview of the entire period of the Great Tribulation, where horse number one, white horse, will be the beginning of the Great Tribulation. And this is a description of none other than the Antichrist, the beast, the oath, crafty, small A Antichrist already in the world. But this will be the capital A Antichrist that will come in the future. Very crafty, very deceptive, very cunning. Because he's going to pretend to be the Messiah. That's why he's known as Antichrist. Not just any world ruler, but he will use and borrow the name of Jesus Christ, and he will come in the name of Jesus Christ, and he will tell the whole world that he is the Messiah. And the world will be deceived by him. So when you and I look at these four horses, they describe, number one, how the Antichrist will come into power. And once he comes into power, he will reveal his true self. And that will be the remaining three horses. And after the focus on him, God will now focus on the believers. We look at that very briefly. That's seal number five. Then God will describe the last days, seal number six. And then God will reveal to us the trumpet judgments. But before that, God will again focus on believers. Believers will always be at the center of his heart. Always. Knowing that this world for the last 7 years will be very badly devastated, and there will be believers. Now the church has been raptured. There is no one to restrain the devil from being able to reveal the identity of the Antichrist. And that is the start of the Great Tribulation according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So now we are going to have a glimpse of how he's going to succeed. That's the beast, the Antichrist. But before that, God revealed to us to comfort us and anyone who become a believer during the 7 years of Great Tribulation. And we're going to study that when we look at the next chapter, chapter 7, God willing, in the near future. I saw, there's John, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts, that's the angels, saying, come and see, that is telling John. Now the first thing we notice is, the Lamb opened one of the seals. To let us know that if the Lord doesn't open, what the devil was about to do in the 7 years of Great Tribulation would not be possible. The Lord will always be in charge. The Lamb of God will always be in total, absolute control. And so even when the beast during the 7 years of Great Tribulation will kill many believers, these believers must always take heed and take heart that the Lord Jesus Christ is still in absolute control, even though the world will be controlled literally by the devil through the Antichrist. Because he will energize the Antichrist. And he will energize the false prophet who will assist the Antichrist in doing miracles to deceive the world. But for the first time, an idol will be able to speak. You find that in Revelation 13. The deception will be very, very deadly and powerful. And majority of the world would be duped and deceived by the great Antichrist. But the Lord wants to assure every believer, it is the Lamb who still holds the book, it's the Lamb who opened the seal. He is in absolute control from the very beginning to the very end of what transpired or what will transpire in the near future in the Great Tribulation. But you and I, who are believers, will not be on earth to see it. Neither will you and I be experiencing it by the goodness and the mercies of God. And so let's look at the beast and his beginning. And I saw and behold a white horse, just as Jesus Christ would descend from the clouds in Revelation 19. On what color horse? White horse. Symbolic of holiness. Symbolic of peace. Right, that's what white symbolizes. So he will imitate from the very beginning and tell the world that I am the Christ. And he sat on him and had a bow. A bow is an instrument of battle. But the Bible said that it was a bow, no mention of any arrows. So he will come right on a white horse in the name of holiness and peace, and he will now use a bow, symbolic of conquering, using peace. And a crown was given unto him, so he will succeed. And the world will put him up as the one world ruler that they will desire. Because he will promise them, if you make me your ruler, I will bring peace to the world. And the word crown there is where we get the English word Stephen, Stephanos, which is a crown that you earn by doing something. It is used to describe those who participate in a race, and you come out first, and a crown will be placed on your head. You earn it by running the race and came in first. When it is a crown that belongs to royalty, not because you have done something, it will be diadem. Jesus Christ will come wearing diadems, crowns. That's what you find in Revelation 19. He will come wearing many crowns. And the word crown there is diadem, because he is Jesus Christ, royalty. Not because he had to do something to earn it. It's because of who he is as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So this is Stephanos, where he has to do something to earn it. And what did he do? He will now offer to the world, who is now hungering for peace. What is our world hungering for right now? In the Middle East, they are all hungering, begging Israel to stop so that peace will return in that region. Likewise, in Europe, for the past 3 years, because of what's happening between Russia and Ukraine, peace is not present there at the moment. And many European countries are very nervous, especially after America pulled herself out of NATO, the North American Alliance, together with Europe. And because of that pullout, to the shock and horror of the European countries, had always been, after the Second World War, leaning upon America's military might for their comfort and safety. Now, to their horror, to their rude awakening, they suddenly realize that we cannot depend on America anymore since the end of the Second World War, because we do not know what the next American president will do. If they're going to do something like this present American president, we are in trouble. We do not have the kind of military might to stop Russia at this juncture. So we now better boost up our military spending, and that's what they are doing. Nearly $1 trillion has been devoted, combined all the nations there. They are going to weaponize themselves, buy the latest weapons of war. And for your information, the only European country other than England, which has already left because of Brexit, that has nuclear weapons is France. All the other nations do not have nuclear weapons except France. And now with this military spending, either they're going to buy or they're going to make their own nuclear weapons. Because if any country has nuclear weapons, that will be the greatest deterrent of any nation daring to touch and attack your country. So they are also longing for peace because of what's happening And then now, for the past few days, you know, closer to home, Thailand and Cambodia. And you have missionaries in Cambodia that you are supporting, and you are also collecting the Cambodian church building fund. But they are having some trouble with their neighbor, and both countries are part of the ASEAN country. So this is not just stranger fighting with stranger. These are supposed to be brother against brother. I mean, we're supposed to be in the same ASEAN countries, right? Why are we fighting? Border dispute? Over what? People are already dying. Thailand has already told 160,000 of their citizens to please evacuate. Leave that part of Thailand, closest to the border of Cambodia, because things are not looking very well. If the thing continues to mushroom, will Singapore be impacted and affected since we are part of the ASEAN countries? Peace is now being taken away portion by portion of the world, from the Middle East to the North European, and then now to Southeast Asia, this part of the world. Africa had always been having a lot of conflicts. South America, the same thing. Many of the South American countries are dominated by mafia and all their gang wars. It's already in great turmoil. Peace will be completely taken away from the world to the point of desperation. And then lo and behold, this man will come riding on a white horse promising peace on one condition. All you nations, surrender your sovereignty and make me your one world ruler, and I promise you peace will come. So he will succeed because a crown will be given to him, and then he will go forth conquering and to conquer using peace. And nation after nation will line up and say, yes, we want, we want, we want. And Singapore, I guarantee you, will also say, we want. Singapore is too small to do anything that is different from the majority of these free world nations. Singapore will just simply piggyback and tag along. I'm sure you know that by now. That's always been the case. Because we are too tiny to make any loud noises that will be of any significance. Because our whole economy depends upon outsiders. The moment this country or that country turn off the economic tap, we will begin to suffer. We're too small in everything. Our military may be very sophisticated, but not in terms of size. Our people may be very smart, but not in terms of size. Our people may be very efficient, but not in terms of size. And you know, size in war is everything. As you can see, look at the map of Ukraine and Russia. By the look of it, it's like a big brother bullying the small brother. So he will succeed. The crown will be given to him. Given. And once he is in power, what do you think he will do? The next three horses, the beast and the government. So once he gets into power, it will not be 100% total absolute control. That's why in Daniel, the empire of the Antichrist is described as iron and what? What did they use for computer chips? Clay, right? So iron and clay. Some people think that it's computer. Clay and iron, they don't mix well. Unlike iron, which was the material used to describe the Roman Empire. Caesar had absolute power over the vast Roman Empire. But the final Antichrist, iron and clay. That means it will not be total 100% global conquest. There will be some who will still oppose. And because it's iron, we know the Antichrist will come from Europe. So Europe will now rise. And once they buff up, build up their weapons of war, they're going to be greater and stronger than America. And then there will be one ruler, because Europe, that's how they function now. They already tasted what's it like to have united economy. Now they're going to have united army, and then they're going to offer to the world a one world united government with one currency, one ruler, one flag, one national anthem. And he will succeed, but there will be other nations that will not approve. And you know, what are some of these nations? Russia, China, they will not approve. And they will continue to fight and disturb. And you see that in Daniel as well. The little horn and others, they're going to have some conflict, but they will be defeated. And the Antichrist will still come up on top. So once he rose to power, look at how he will rule. Verse 3 and verse 4. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see, John." And so John came over, and there went out another horse that was red. What is the color of red? Blood. So once he is in the seat of power, he is going to rule with an iron fist, like the Lord Jesus Christ, an iron fist. But in the case of Christ, it will be righteousness, goodness, and holiness. In the case of the false Christ, the Antichrist, it will be based upon evil, cruelty, and absolute deception and wickedness. And who do you think will shed a lot of blood? Believers, those who will come to know Christ after the rapture, during the Great Tribulation period, they are going to die in big numbers. So he will rule. Right? And power was given to him that sat there, that sat thereon, right? He's now in the seat of power. That's how he will govern. To take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. So anyone who dares to challenge him, he will kill. You want peace? I will bring peace. But I will rule with an iron fist. Everyone must kowtow to me. You don't, you die. That's the way he's going to do it. And that will be in the near future. Revelation 13, I'm sure you know. Without the mark of the beast, he cannot buy and sell. So after he controls the government, anyone and everyone who will not kowtow to him, you will be exposed and you will die. The next, verse 5 and verse 6, the economy. You cannot govern without the economy. What happened to the skin of a person when he is suffering from starvation? His skin will turn dark, black. Do you know that? What that's found in the Bible. When you are starving, your skin color will darken. And so the next horse is a black horse. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. You look at Lamentation 5, verse 10. Lamentation is the book that comes after Jeremiah. Lamentations 5:10. Our skin are black like an oven because of the terrible famine. See, I didn't make it up. That's how the Bible described. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. Lamentations 5:10. So that's why the black horse is going to control the economy. And you know, in Revelation 13, without the mark of the beast, you cannot buy, you cannot sell. So anyone who wants to buy, you must show the mark of the beast. Even if you have money, other people won't sell to you. Because if they sell to you and they're caught, they will probably die. So what do you think will happen? You want to hold on to your faith? You will starve to death. You want to hold on to your faith and your children to also believe in Christ? You've got to be prepared to suffer such famine and death. He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand, right? Definitely economy. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny." A measure is just enough for a person to live a day. A penny is a day's wage for a daily wage worker. So things will become very expensive. So you want to feed a five person, you need five pennies, which they don't have. Very expensive. And three measures of barley for a penny. Barley is usually the food of animals. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Unreachable. Only the elite, the billionaires who kowtow to the beasts can afford. The rest of the population, they will just be eking out a living, and it will cost them an arm and a leg, as what you can see in Gaza, as reported by BBC. They interview some people. A loaf of bread, about what, $14 US. Can you imagine? Because it's so scarce, you cannot find bread in Gaza. And that's one example. Don't talk about all the other staple food that people need just to survive. Famine is something that is frightening. We thank God in Singapore we have food queuing up for us. In places like Gaza today, you have lines and lines of people, throng of people queuing up for food. And the food that they queue up for is not like our supermarket fresh and so colorful kind of fruits and food and all sorts. It's all up to your heart's desire. You have food in very carefully laid out refrigerated containers to keep them fresh for you to walk around to your heart's desire and pick and choose what you want. But in famine time, the choice of what you want is completely non-existent. You just eat what is available, and if what's available is green grass, you eat green grass. Whatever. Barley is supposed to be for animals, and now human beings, we are not going to feed the animal. I'd rather feed my children than my horse. And so I'd rather let my horse die than my children die. And so I'll feed my children and let everything else die a painful death, but not my child, not my child, not my children. The sheep can die. Everything else can die. I mean, what else? Or you can eat them. You can kill the horse and eat the horse. You catch the dog, you can eat the dog, but they are unclean to the Jews. It's a nightmare to live in the midst of a global famine, where no country can come and help you, because every country is suffering the same famine because it's global. Right now, famine is localized. It's in Gaza, but not in any other cities in that region. So other countries can provide food for them. This is exactly what they want to do, if peace would return, for them to bring in the aid that they need. But when it is global famine, who will come? No one. Those who are believers that the Lord will want to keep alive right up to the end of the Great Tribulation, the Lord Himself will personally provide for them. And you're going to see that when God provides for the 144,000 Israelites, that He will preserve. That will be the seed for the millennial kingdom, because the nation of Israel will be restored to its former glory, where it will become a national witness during the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years, with Jesus Christ, the great high priest and King of kings, ruling on earth in the new heaven and new earth of the millennial kingdom. But right now, the devil will be in absolute control with God's permission. And people on earth will be at the mercy of this Antichrist, energized by the devil. As you can see later on in chapter 12, he will be barred from entering heaven and he will be cast down on the earth. And because of this act from God, he will now unleash his evil and his anger and his wrath on the people of earth. So you have the devil, you have the Antichrist, you have the false prophet, and you have all the soldiers and armies that worship the Antichrist, supporting them. And in this kind of great tribulation and environment, But the mercies of God, there will still be believers. And many of them, literally, at that point in time, when you become a believer, you really must count the cost. Because the moment you become a Christian, you will not want to have the mark of the beast. You better be prepared to suffer and die. And if you are parents, you've got to think of your children as well. Because they're going to suffer together with you when mom and dad becomes believers. How are they going to bring food home? You can't. And the children, because of their smaller body, they're going to suffer hunger first. And hunger pangs means the acid will be eating into the stomach walls. They're going to experience excruciating pain and cry to mommy and daddy for food. And you can only tell them, we have none, we have none, we have none, we have none. And they'll keep on yelling and screaming and crying until they die. All because you want to believe in Christ, who suffered and died on the cross for your sins during the period of the Great Tribulation. And you did not want to believe today, when there is still none of these severe consequences. Life is too good. That's why the church is not pure. The church is a mixture of easy believism, a lot of goats pretending to be sheep, and some of them are wolves dressed in sheep's clothing in seminary, in Bible colleges. That's why Christianity in the last days is apostate. But the moment you bring in the fire of persecution, you're going to find a church purified. All these false professing believers, the goats, they are going to reveal their true nature and run as fast as possible away from any church so that they will not be identified with Christ and save their physical life but lose their eternal soul. And the wolves in sheep's clothing will reveal themselves, and they are going to be the hunter, and you and I will be the hunted. That's the fire persecution. And the Great Tribulation, think of it as global. Right now, you can run and hide in another country if you want to run away. And tell yourself, take me in, I'm a refugee. If I go back home, I will be killed. And they will take you in. But during the period of Great Tribulation, all nations will be under the control of the great Antichrist. None will show mercy, none will take you in. They find out, they kill you. Nowhere can you run and hide from the anger and wrath of this one world, in time, global ruler called the Antichrist. And he will succeed when a big country wanted another country to kowtow. What do they do nowadays before they fire their first weapon of war? You ever heard of what economic sanction? Well, isn't that the same as what the Bible says, without the mark of the beast, you cannot buy and sell? You cannot buy and sell is basically economic sanction. 2,000 years ago, when this was revealed to us, it was an impossibility because the world was in great separation. Every country within their own borders was separated from even their own closest neighbor. But we live in a world of great unity. So many aspects of our national existence is global in nature. You have the World Health Organization. We have experienced what it was like during the recent COVID for about 2 years, or slightly over 2 years. It was a global endeavor to save as many as possible and to stop the spread of COVID. True? The vaccination, it's in a global nature. It was a worldwide affair to find the vaccination as soon as possible and to distribute it worldwide as soon as possible. And first world countries that have the resources and the money who can buy will probably and have been given first preference. So they can take the money and then develop it and then use it to make more vaccines for those who are part of the third world country who cannot afford, because they probably will have to receive it free of charge. or else their citizens will die in great thousands and tens of thousands. We have seen and tasted the power of a world situation. We also have WTO, World Trade Organization. Trade, that's it, this is it, isn't it? And because of the World Trade Organization, the system has already been in place for this control. I mean, it's one thing to say that without the mark of the beast, you cannot buy and sell. It's easy to talk. But is there a system that has really been in place to turn this into a practical reality? You ask yourself, is the system in place? Yes. We are now going to a cashless society. You know what that means, right? Everything is now electronic. And because it is electronic, your name, my name, our identity are all tagged to a central system. The moment they can flag you, oh, this person has no mark of the beast on them, all they need to do is to flag you, and then straight away they're going to neutralize all your credit cards, and every credit card that you have on your phone, all will be rendered null and void, powerless. And so when you want to buy something, you want to pay, rejected. You try another credit card, all rejected. Then the seller will probably tell you, sorry friend, I can't sell to you. Even if I wanted to, I can't. You can't pay me. And then what do? You have enough cash at home? Some places don't even want to accept cash. Do you know that? Our recent church camp in Malaysia, even some of these stalls in Malaysia, I want to use cash to pay. Sorry, cashless. Because the boss is now very safe. I don't have to have a camera watching my employees, whether they're going to steal or cheat from me or not if I use cash. And so, turn everything cashless. Small little stall, buying some cakes for my grandchildren, some pretzel for my grandchildren. Bought, ordered, and to pay, sorry, cashless. You have no choice. And once it is cashless, it's all centralized in the bank accounts and all controlled by Big Brother. The system is really in place, in other words, for this third seal, the beast and the economy. It's only a matter of when the identity of the Antichrist is revealed, straight away the system is in place for him to control everything that you and I own. Literally. Everything. 2,000 years ago, not possible. 2,000 years later, it's already here. And we are already so involved in it. We have tasted it in a small way. When Russia invaded Ukraine, did they not suspend the wealth of many of the billionaire oligarchs who supported the president of Russia? And these are all powerful billionaires because their wealth is outside of Russia. And the moment it's outside, it's in some country's bank. Freeze it. They can even take your yacht, your multi-million dollar yacht, and park it somewhere and not allow you to use it. And these are powerful billionaires. And they can just simply do that to them. And who are we, therefore? This is how the Antichrist will come and control the world. And the system is already in place for him to succeed, as you and I are very much aware. That's how near the return of Christ is. That's how near the rapture is, the return of Christ for the church. It's just round the corner. That's why it's so important for us to take heed and bear in mind. If the Lord tarries, you can celebrate your 20th anniversary in January 2026. But if the Lord returns at any time, you want to say to the Lord, Lord, please, don't come yet. Let me celebrate 20th anniversary for you. Want? Of course, he's not going to ask you. Any time, system in place for the Antichrist to appear riding on a white horse, carrying a bow without arrows, and then the world will give him the crown, and you and I will have no choice because the decision will be made for us by our government. Isn't it? Our government is going to decide for all Singaporeans whether we're going to join the government of the Antichrist, when he offers us global peace, we are going to tag along, and you and I have no say. If you and I are still around, thank God for the rapture. We're not going to experience and see and taste all these, where your future literally is in the hands of a few men in leadership. And finally, the power of the beast, verse 7 and verse 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I look, and I behold a pale horse. Pale is the color of death. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. So that is the control. One quarter of the earth. To kill with the sword. To kill with hunger. To kill with death. And to kill with the beast of the earth. This will be the wild beast. It is not the beast that is used to describe the angels. Remember, that is just simply living beings. This word beast is wild beast. Same word that is going to be used to describe the beast in Revelation 13. Wild animals, in contrast to living beings, beast. The beast and the power over one quarter of the earth. You may not think that that is very large, but one quarter of the world's population, how many? 8 billion. One quarter, 2 billion, will be under his control, and the land. And all he needed would be in control of the first world countries. Third world countries, with their weak economy, with their very weak military might and power, they are nothing. But once you control first world countries with their military might, you control the whole world. You don't, he kills. Those who are unbelievers, who challenge, you kill, you die, you end up in hell. The only safety, only safeguard is in Christ. None other. There will be no place on earth that you can run and hide and be safe. Only in Christ. Because your body, once it is destroyed, your soul will be next. Because your soul will be standing in the judgment of Christ. And if you die in sin, Jesus Christ will cast your soul into hell, and there will be gnashing of teeth and wailing until the end of the millennium, where he will cast you into the lake of fire. And you don't want that. Jesus revealed these to us of the deadly nature of our world. These 7 years of great tribulation is the final moment of man's existence, literally. The birth of Jesus Christ is known as the beginning of the last days. The return of Jesus Christ is known as the end of the last days. Ask yourself one simple question. Last days of what, God? Last days of man's rule on earth. When God destroyed the world by water in Noah's time. After the destruction, God gave man a second and final chance, telling Noah to replenish the earth. You and your children and their wives go and replenish the earth. And they did. And the earth is what it is today because of Noah's obedience in replenishing the earth, allowing man to rule one another up to today. But the last days means I will no longer allow man to ever rule another human being again, the way that he has been doing. I, Jesus Christ, will be the only one who will rule, and all the saints who are now believers will also rule with me, and that will be during the millennial kingdom. In the new heaven and new earth of Revelation 21, where every believer will be in the glorified body, we will not be ruling anyone. All of us will be servants or slaves. Jesus Christ is the only ruler, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, with a capital city called New Jerusalem. And all of us will just simply be servants and citizens and children of God in eternity. And in the meantime, with our world where there will be people with sinful nature, this world is what it is. And all will come to an end, the last days. Because Christ will rule for 1,000 years before this old heaven and old earth vanished away, destroyed. It came out of nothing, and God will turn it back to nothing. That's the last day. That's how ominous the last days are. When God said to the kings, last days of what? After the city of Jerusalem, the temple, were destroyed by the Babylonians, last days of Israel ruling as king. You notice that? There never will be a monarchy again until the millennial kingdom. When they returned, they were a vassal state under the yoke of the Persians. And then after that, the Greeks. After that, the Romans. And Jesus Christ was born. His first coming, Israel was still a vassal state under the yoke of the Roman Empire. Last days, in the days of Judah, last days of what? Ask yourself that all the time. Of the monarchy. The last king, Zedekiah, died, it's done. That's it, no more kings. Until Christ will come as king. 1948, when they return after the Second World War, is a democracy, not a king. So last days, monarchy. Last days for us, the world, of man ruling the way that it is. Cut up God's word into many nations, nation fighting nations. Over what? No more, God says, enough. I will no longer allow man to rule anymore after the fiery destruction at my second coming. Unlike the global destruction by water, I allow man to rule one another again, but no more. Last days. Last days of the church. You and I, as we are, as a church, is temporary. All these things are temporary. One day you and I will be raptured. What's the point of having all these things? We leave them all behind. This building is just a place to provide you with a comfortable environment for worship. The reality would be you, one another, people. That's eternal. Whether all of us will continue to spend our last days on earth, and then we all will continue in heaven together, time will reveal. Alright, last days of what? Last days of our worship here on earth, last days of everything that we do on earth, because a moment when the rapture takes place, we'll all be gone. We'll all be gone, except those who pretend to be believers who are not really born again. You will not need to go home, you're not to bother about anything in your house, you'll not be bothered about anyone anymore, because you'll be gone. Last days is very, very significant and ominous, depending on how you look at it. And here we are given a glimpse of the final 7 years of man's existence on earth, the final 7 years of the last days, before the Lord returned in the clouds of glory, where the heaven, the sun, and the stars, all these will be devastated, as you have been told in Trumpet Judgment number 6. The last days. The devil will be permitted by God to succeed, to raise up the great Antichrist, that the world will worship him using the name of Christ to deceive the world. Because if he were to reveal himself, I'm the devil, he will not get the worship. But if he receives worship, it must be in pretense. What better person to pretend and imitate than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whom he knew is his creator. And that's what he will do. The system is in place for him to succeed. God will permit it. Where will you be in these last days? It all depends on who you are today. It will determine where you will be tomorrow, when the last days become today. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, May thy Holy Spirit speak to our hearts, first and foremost, O God, to every parent. Help us to make sure of our own salvation in Christ Jesus. And after that, help us, O God, to speak to our children and not to procrastinate, to make sure that our sons and our daughters also come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, for we know that the moment the rapture takes place, they will be left behind to fend for themselves in a period of the Great Tribulation, where the Antichrist will rule with the rod of iron, and all those who challenge him will die. May thou be merciful to place a deep sense of urgency in our hearts, that we may all see with our spiritual eyes the signs of the last days are already fulfilled before the Lord's soon return to catch us all up, and we will forever be with the Lord forever and ever. In the meantime, O God, help us to stop our sinful ways of carnality, focusing on our vain ambitions, but to focus on thy kingdom and thy righteousness, and that would be to share the gospel with sinners and live a life of holiness and righteousness according to Scripture, so that the image of Christ will be clearly and visibly seen by the way that we live, and his words will be clearly heard by the way that we speak. For we know soon, when the night comes, we can witness and serve him no more. May thy Holy Spirit bring conviction and speak to every heart. For we know that the system is already in place in this world for the soon coming and appearance of the deadly Antichrist, who will deceive the world and rise to power when the world will give him his crown, and the world will taste and suffer its consequence. May thou be merciful to hear us, and may thy Holy Spirit convict us for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.